Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, even your mortal enemies about all this, because this is something that affects every last stinking dang one of us. We are all affected, all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kakuna for the microphone. And you are listening to DJ Butterfly Feces here, the one and only, accept no substitutions. Very important. And on with me this evening, hopefully, is the one and only Comedy Organic OK. Organic, speak up. Yeah, he's absent again. All right. Well, I'll do it myself. All right. It's 7 o'clock here on the dot on the program. Now, we advise you to call in. Get involved. You can be on the radio. Tell us what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what is going on in your world. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. All right. Now, where do I begin? Okay, this time I'm going to reveal the origin, but I'm going to try to do it briefly, okay? I'm not going to spend too much time going on and on about it. I basically was living in McKinleyville, California, most of my life. I spent most of my everything in McKinleyville. McKinleyville, there's a city I said that had everything. McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. Now, that's our motto officially. Home of the world's tallest totem pole and home of basically just about anything you could possibly want. We were a cozy, small town. Let me say that. We were in Northern California. It snowed, so you could ski, sled, snowboard, toboggan, and whatnot. We also had a beach. You could tan, sun yourself. You could parasail, boogie board, windsurf, all that. And I did all this. I did everything there was to do in this town. I made sort of a habit of doing such. I kid you not. I basically made a habit of basically just trying to stop and enjoy the roses, all the beautiful things of McKinleyville. I did all there was to do there, and I enjoyed it. I didn't think that much about the future, about myself as an adult. I wasn't one of those guys who was thinking, I better find some high-demand skill, low labor, where you sit down at a computer and just work all day and study. And the stack of checks come in there, whatever. In a way, I didn't want to be that guy, the kind of guy whose his job is his whole life. He doesn't have time to basically stop and enjoy his existence. He's always on the move. He's always basically working. That's all he is. The world passes you by like that. I thought, I'll take any job as long as it gets me enough money to get by, and I can stop and enjoy everything there is to do in this town. That's the town of McKinleyville, California. All right. So basically, I was a straight C-minus, sometimes C-plus student school. I got average grades. I did average. I got by. I knew everybody. Everybody knew me. I was the guy who was basically just getting by. I was the guy just getting by. I just wanted to enjoy life. It's harder to do that now, isn't it? There was a time, literally, where you could take any job and whatever. And that job had benefits. They provided for your family. You could basically have an all-American home. It could pay for whatever. You were taken care of. There was a time when that was the case. That's all gone, isn't it? The bar has been raised. It's not the case for anybody. I know people who basically have made their job what they do, their whole identity. Pulling down money, they don't have the time and effort to enjoy it. Their family enjoys it, and they and their family are strangers. Once again, I was willing to do any job that just meant that I could get by personally, whatever and what have you. But the truth was, once again, that's not the case. Can't do that no more. Nowadays, the bar seems to be getting raised. every second as we are talking, technology is becoming more advanced and they're getting more machines to do things that people do. In the 50s, they came up with an idea of robots that could do everything, but in a way they were worried that if they do this, well, what's going to happen? I mean, more people could be put out of work. Even in the industrial age, at the beginning of the 20th century, when machines were first being developed, they said, why basically build things that we can just get people to do? Throwing more people out on the streets that way. But they did it anyway. And soon, the whole vagrancy thing became kind of an ongoing problem, an epidemic. And guess what? It's only gotten worse. Now we've reached critical mass. Now, it's really bad. I kid you not. Things have become disastrous. We talk about this problem all the time in the U.S., but it seems to be getting worse all over. Now, I remember, once again, it was my senior year in high school when everybody was starting to talk about what they plan to do for a living when they get to college, picking their skill, what they were going to do. I said, I'll take any job as long as I can sit back here and enjoy what this town has to offer. You know, the truth is, I just basically want to live it up, enjoy life, do everything like I'm doing now. I'll teach other people how to do it. Something to be told, how to indulge or whatever. There'll be something. I had that foolish faith. I didn't realize how much the world has changed. Your parents basically tell you how basically back when they were your age, things they could have pulled through. Kids, they got no work at. They don't realize work is gone. A lot of people are willing to work hard to survive and make it, but things have gotten bad. It's a fact. It's a terrifying fact. You know this. You see it out there. Everybody's clinging to what they got by bleeding fingernails. The truth was, I remember when I graduated high school, I thought, okay, maybe I'll go to college, or maybe I join the military. Well, those people basically just turned into military drones or whatever. They don't know how to get by. Truth is, I didn't know what to do. I sat in my house where I lived with my family, with that sinking feeling that the world was just going to pass me by. Tried to do the same old stuff I always do, but even people were starting to, I was starting to notice the people who were basically spent as much time skiing and boogie boarding and just grooving in life like I was were kids. I was now the oldest one there. Something wasn't right. My parents sat me down and told me, listen, you've been playing too hard. You're just playing. You need to start working. You got to start doing something to make an effort. I did that. God dang it, I did that. At least I tried to basically, I looked around for a job, any job, the one none that were available. You got to realize nowadays we're at a time where there aren't jobs really available for just about anybody, and dang it. Now, we have foreigners come in this country all the time willing to basically do even the worst jobs for next to nothing. And technology evolving, some of the jobs that nobody wants to do are now being done by machines, which means more people on the streets, more people out of work, more people cast adrift. Dang it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I was scared. I was terrified. I mean it. I was scared beyond belief. I started a radio show just like this one. No, really, I was on the radio before this show. I had some, whatever. I don't think anybody was listening. Now, I truly asked everyone I know to listen in, but they were all busy, and mostly, they didn't know, how do you listen to Blog Talk Radio? How do you tune into it? I mean, dang. So dang it, what happened was, I remember I was just feeling without means. I thought, I'm in just so much trouble. What am I going to do? Time passed, and finally my father sat me down, put me on his knee like he used to when I was a kid, looked me in the eye and said, son, I want you out of the house. And they said they'd let me stay there as long as they did because I was their son, but the truth is, I don't even know if that was the case. I think they kept me there as long as I did because otherwise I have to talk to each other. You know how some families, the parents want time to just be together, whatever, like it was at the beginning of their relationship? Yeah, my parents didn't want that. They hated each other. They didn't enjoy each other's company. They kept me around as long as they did. Otherwise, they had to talk to each other. My parents were two people who stayed together because they felt like they didn't have any other options. They didn't have the energy and means to just, you know, get by. They didn't have what you'd call any reason to talk to each other. They didn't have any other options. They didn't have the energy to go out there and try to find somebody else and whatever and yada, yada. It was just, they didn't have the energy to even get off the couch. That's why they kept me as long as they did. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you this, and I mean this. I knew the time was now. I packed my stuff. I packed my backpack, not even like a big suitcase or overnight bag, whatever. A little backpack. It wasn't even half full, and the clothes on my back, and I walked out of the house. They kicked me out around the holidays. It's how the family's all supposed to be together and all that. The truth was, these people were just basically hated each other, but that doesn't mean they wanted me to stick around forever. I thought I should be out. I should be doing something, my own thing. What is that? I basically went out to the woods. We have beautiful woods in McKinleyville. I passed by the waterfall. We got one of those too. One, it's kind of beautiful. It made me smile as I walked past it. But somehow as I was out there in the woods, things felt different this time. Like, I'm not the same person. I'm in a place. I'm in a way. I'm in a state. I don't have a place to live anymore, I realized to myself. When you first get homeless, it doesn't quite sink in right away. You think, maybe this is just a setback. I'm not really going to wind up on the street, am I? Begging. Starving. I'm not going to wind up like that, am I? I mean, my God. Really? Honestly? As I passed by the woods, I basically thought, maybe me and my parents will work things out. Then I happened to pass by the campsite. I went into it, and there were all these people there. People I didn't recognize. I was surprised. I thought I knew everybody in town. There was a lot of them. They were barbecuing and whatever. One was a very tall, heavy guy, a big guy, heavy guy. Went by the moniker. He told me his name was Comedy Organic OK, that he was in charge of all this. I had to ask, well, what is all this? It turned out that basically they had started their own dang sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Organization. Organic said he was a philanthropist who went around trying to pick up all the garbage that was on the street and help the people on them. Help people get off the streets, help them clean up, make life better, universal. He was a philanthropist doing all this. I was taken aback. I never saw myself doing anything really all that important, not important to the big picture. But I thought, now here is a guy who is doing just that. I wish I could do something like that, I told him. looked me in the eye and said, "You can." He asked me, would I like to join him? Join him on his expedition around the world? He'll pay for everything. It's 7:15 here on the program, cocooning for the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. I want to wish you all happy holidays. Thanksgiving is coming. The end of the year is coming. And it's coming really, honestly, in a big way. You know, I used to look forward to the holidays more when I was a little kid, but you get to be older. I don't know. It's a heck of a thing. I want to basically invite all of y'all to call in and stay connected. Get together. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Get involved. Anywho, as I was basically trying to help, trying to get involved with them, later on, we had a nice night, a nice evening, ate, drank, slept, and then next thing I knew, first thing in the morning, we were headed towards Vicenza, Italy, to spend New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. They celebrate New Year's a little different in Italy, and just the beauty of the city itself and the cuisine, the Italian cuisine. I know they got Italian cuisine in America, but let me tell you something. When you taste it in Italy, you can taste a difference. Anywho, I was so excited. I mean, I was cleaning up all the mess and garbage that they left and whatever and trying to help people on the street. I was trying to help do all that. You know? It was a thing. It was a thing. Before I knew it, we were basically jettisoning to every single city, doing something big here. So, now, if you've been following our program, you know, last place we were was Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And guess what? We were still there. Okay, I exhausted myself in this heat picking up garbage. I talked to people on the streets, and I basically, a few of them, we cut their nails and trimmed their hair and gave them razors to shave with. You know, we did all that. We helped them a little bit. You know, there's a whole basic kind of organization that's going around making over the homeless, clean them up. But you know what? No, not chicken butt. Melbourne, Victoria, Australia was a dang beautiful city. I wanted to see it. So I started walking around. And I started doing things. I wanted to see what the city had to offer. I wanted to take all the beauty in. All the beauty. And it was beautiful. It was dang beautiful. It was gorgeous. I went basically all around. And I told everybody what me and Organic OK were doing. We were going around picking up all this trash and helping, making the city, this planet, a better place. And helping the homeless, even though it seemed like, okay, once again, it was no cakewalk to help the homeless. You got to understand, these people have been thrown out. They were looked at as stuff that's obsolete. You know, when you have stuff around your house that you think is clutter and junk and is useless, you throw it out. That's what happened to these people. And the system had decided they were as worthless as this stuff. But dang it all, we were basically trying to get them some kind of help. I talked to some of the vagrants out there on the street. I asked, isn't the city kind of beautiful? They all agreed. I asked them, would you want to get back on the grid, start working again, maintaining a place, a job, all that? A few of them said yes. Actually, this one woman told me, I'm here because I'm trying to prove something. I was like, what? Thought maybe she's another one of those homeless who basically became homeless because they couldn't handle walking the line anymore and wanted to get off it, wanted to experience living, real life on the street and whatever. But she said that she had a boyfriend, and they had a horrible falling out. He was abusive. He was a drunk. He was a cheat. Basically, stay with him as long as she did, because where would she find another place to take her in? She couldn't find someplace else right away, so now she was on the street. Wow, this hit hard. I don't know what to say at that point. I mean, would you? I knew it could get cold out here. Well, it wasn't so cold in Australia. It was actually kind of warm. You think more homeless people should be living in warmer climates and all that, you know? A place where it's warm. But she looked me in the eye. She told me, I'm not with him right now. As long as I'm not with him, I'm a success. As long as I'm not with him. I thought about that. I thought about that long and hard. Now, I knew there's a higher population of homeless people, homeless men, because women have the option of being able to use what God or plastic surgeon gave them to get in a nice, cozy stay with a man. But when you see a woman out there on the streets, you know, it's going to be a little harder for her. She said, I ain't going back to him. I'm going to prove I can survive out here, she told me. I am. I was taken aback. There was something heroic, she-roic, heroinic. What word do you call this? Well, whatever, you know what I mean, about all of it. There was. She told me, I made friends out here. We look out for each other. We all look out. She said it in a deep Australian accent, but I don't want to do that right now. I want to say it some other time, maybe on next week's show, because once again, we're still going to be in Melbourne, Australia. Now, I personally basically asked her, didn't she have any family she could stay with? She shook her head, no. I knew how she felt. I tried to say I was thrown out on the street by my parents. And I basically said again, as I'm telling you, they didn't kick me out because they thought I needed to grow or because they wanted more time to be together. They just didn't want me around. Really? I asked her, I said, what keeps you going? She said, that I'm proving myself that I'm still standing. I'm still out here. I didn't go running back to him. I didn't go running to anybody else. I could have basically just tried to put out to get another place to stay. Stay with somebody else. I could have done that, and I didn't. I'm standing my ground. Absolutely. Yeah. I basically asked her, where do you get your strength, your courage? I wish I had that. As I said, you're doing something heroic. Yeah, I know. But the truth is, I don't know. I don't think I could make it if I had to be myself on the street. I know I'm working out here, but I'm getting a job I'm getting paid for. I stay at a hotel where organic, you know, he gives us a nice meal. He looks after us. He takes care of us. He's doing all that. I don't think that I could survive on my own if I had to, especially not out here. I mean, my God. I asked her name. She said her name was Julie. I explained to my name. My name was DJ Butterfly Feces. She gave me a weird look. I explained the whole metaphor, the whole happening about where I got this moniker. The idea that bug droppings makes for fertilizer and it grows, and organic gave me this name when I took this position to help him out. I took pride in the fact that we were real heroes. But the problem is real heroes don't get recognized. You know who gets recognized, really? Celebrities, movie stars. especially when they do one charity event. They get behind one charity because their movies aren't selling like they should be. They need some good ink. Nobody in real life wants to be a hero. It's too much of a sacrifice. You don't get much credit for it. It's a heck of a thing. I don't know what to do. Because the truth is, I'm basically wondering, I'm going to keep doing this for as long as they'll let me. We picked up a lot of garbage. We helped a lot of people. At least the ones we could help. But the truth is, I don't know if we're going to get much means for it. I don't know if we're going to get really, we want our cause to become recognized. We're trying sort of in a way, in a weird way, in a twisted sort of way to become famous so that basically people listen to our message. You said to me, is that the real reason you want to become famous so people know about you? Well, it's just that we live in a society where they reward celebrity. We want our form of health catcher people to know who we are so they'll be inspired to do the same, to pick up garbage, to clean up. And, you know, maybe when all the garbage is picked up, more effort, taxes, and means can be used to trying to get people off the streets to fix this dang homeless epidemic. Because it is an epidemic. I know we've made some good, but in the end, we're not helping as much as we should. We should be building more houses for the homeless everywhere because everybody's got to live somewhere. But the truth of the matter is that there aren't necessarily enough jobs, enough means, money to keep all that going. There are people in America who are looking to pretty much jump ship and swim across the ocean, any ocean, to another country that's going to help, that's going to be more open, that's going to be more, what's the word I'm looking for? That's going to be beneficial. We're going around trying to fix the problem. It's really bad in America, but it's a problem that's bad all over. America's the richest country, but everybody's broke. That's why we're trying to basically, well, we're trying to make sure this problem is helped universally. There's got to be something that helps the means. Homelessness needs to become a thing of the past. Anybody who wants a home should have one. There should be something designed to help the people because it is a very real thing. It's a very real epidemic. I know I sound like I'm preaching and being sanctimonious, but I have to because this is what I spend a lot of time doing, telling people, whatever, that this homeless problem needs to go away. There should be a way that we're all connected. There should be a way that we're all connected, that we're all helping each other, that we're all getting by and whatever, and all this. There should be. We're fighting for it every day, but we're the only ones. We are not heroes that are celebrated. You've been listening to Cocooning from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. The one and only Accept No Substitutions, who is still going to continue to, on his crusade to honestly help and heal the homeless, who's going to make everything better in spades, right? I want to thank you all for listening here. You can pick up all our shows off blogtalkradio.com. This show is brought to you by Organic OK. All right? Okay. We invite you, get involved with the cause. Let yourself be heard. On the radio, we're on every Monday and Tuesday at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 7:30. Numbers 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. All right? Okay, now, we invite you all to get involved, to care. I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. I wish you a happy everything. Thank you, and good night.